open hearts and minds to receive this word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. Light triumphs over darkness. So, it's all right, all our Duke fans. So sorry. God bless you. The season's not over. I want to congratulate my boy Judah, who got first place on his crit race yesterday. As we speak, he's on a road race out of Jordan Lake. So God bless him. Let him pedal fast. Anoint him to win this sprint to the finish. That's probably coming up here shortly. So, yeah, just like you did for the track team, Lord. We're so thankful for that. So are you guys having fun yet? Good. Me too. I'm just so blessed. I just love when the Holy Spirit flows in the room. And it's like we all get to play. Bailey, we love you. It's great meeting you. Thank you for that awesome testimony too, man. That was so encouraging. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
See, the flow of the Holy Spirit releases real powerful things through and in our lives. Real information. Don't let your mind talk you out of what God is showing you in the mind of your heart. Don't let the mind of your brain talk you out of it. So a lot of times, like, okay, Lord, what are you healing? Boom, psoriasis, first thing that comes to mind. Trust me, the first time that I started operating this way, I thought it was ridiculous. Okay, Lord, that's just me making up some sickness or something. Until about, in this scenario, this is a long time ago, like three different people lined up and God healed every single one of them. And guess who was the most surprised person in the room? What? How did God do that? I don't even... It's by the Spirit. The Spirit of God. So having said that, say what you see. If you see something, we don't always have the time or, you know, it all depends on can we all share it. But you can text your word of knowledge if you have our phone numbers to Tavitius or whoever's leading the meeting. Or just write it down on a little piece of paper, bring it up to them, and maybe we'll get you to say it on the microphone or not. But in some way, I think the important part is we get the words out there because there's power in the Word of God. You mean the Word of God can be spoken through little old me? Absolutely. It's not only possible, it's probable if you just believe it. If you would just believe it, just let it flow through you. I'm telling you, it's really fun. And I believe the words from heaven are going to change our generation. And I think it will come from the church. Just flowing in words from heaven. And did you guys catch the worship flow this morning? I'm sure, Kathy, did you catch that? So it started off with the alabaster, the fragrance. Remember the sinful woman in the Gospels that poured it all out? And the religious mindset was like, this is such a waste. Shouldn't they have sold this and given the money to the poor? No, Jesus said, no. What she's doing will be told wherever the Gospels preach. That's how seriously he took this. What she's doing is preparing my body for a burial, for an anointing. The worship that we're pouring out. And then it goes right into honey in the rock. You know what that is? It's revelation. In other words, it's understanding what this book says or what God's showing you and applying that in our lives. Revelation knowledge, right? That's honey from the rock. The rock is Jesus. Okay, I'm just catching everybody up to speed here in case you didn't catch this. And then what was the third song? You are my joy. Does anybody need some joy? Whew. I need some joy. And I think we're going to need a lot more as the day approaches. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is actually our strength. What does that imply? That we can get weak, that we need strength. We need strength from heaven. Joy isn't just an emotion. It's a supernatural equipping that God can give you even in difficult circumstances. Yes. 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 Woo! Talking about covenant, I want to get to that. I can't promise you this morning, unfortunately, I can't promise you that the world won't go to war. Should we? I don't know. We pray for the president. We pray for the ambassadors. We pray for the nations. We pray for Ukraine. We pray for the Russian people. Like, Lord, have mercy. I can't promise you that. And as, okay, I'm a history teacher by trade for those who don't know me. But so as a historian, I'm looking at the similarities here to World War II. I can't help but notice, like, oh, we've been here before. We tried to appease this other guy. You know who I'm talking about. And it didn't go well. Eventually, we had to get involved. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Only God knows. I'm saying we can't promise. God never guarantees in His word that bad things won't happen. But here's what He does promise us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. What He promises is that He made a covenant with Abraham. He renewed it with Moses and the people of Israel. He said it again to David, and ultimately through His Son in His blood, which we just partook of this morning. He made a covenant promise this morning that He would be with us, that He would go through with us and be in us and walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it breaks my heart as I watch the pictures. It breaks my heart. But I want to say, God has not forsaken the church of Ukraine. God has not forsaken the people who are suffering all around the planet. No, Jesus is there with them. He is walking among them. He is doing mighty things with them and through them. And we don't know what that future holds, but we do know this. Not only is God with us, but He wants to equip our hearts that come, excuse my language, but hell or high water, you know, come whatever difficulties may arise. God has equipped our hearts to be prepared for whatever hour that is. My pastor used to say that what better inheritance could I give my children and my grandchildren than an understanding, a revelation knowledge of how to live from heaven to earth. It's better than an inheritance of money that I could give them, even though I want to do that. It's better than anything I could give them, even though I would like to do that. But more than anything else, I want to give my children and my grandchildren and maybe my great-grandchildren an understanding that you have a Father in heaven. And as we pray, as He taught us, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that we can actually live from heaven to earth. What does that mean in layman's terms? It means living from a spiritual mindset. Where the spirit world is primary, that intersects with the natural world. That's called, the Bible calls it the mind of Christ in a simple form. In other words, if you study Jesus as He's walking through His years on the earth, it's how did He think about the Father, life, reality, and other people? And then how did He interact with those? The simple answer is this. He says, I can only do what I see the Father doing. And I can only say what I hear the Father saying. Okay, you guys all right?
Yeah, good.
Now, see, I believe God's renewing our vows. Okay, you know how married couples sometimes will renew their vows?
Yeah.
Has anybody in the room ever done that? I haven't, but you get the point. You're renewing your vows. What are you doing? You're reminding one another. Let's say, even if they haven't, Vicky and Gary here, they are going to renew their vows. What are they saying? They're reminding one another of their commitment. They're reminding one another of their love. They're reminding one another of the honor that they have between the two of them. Not for the past, for the present, and the future to come. And you see, this is the four covenants that we're going through in these weeks here. It's a reminder. It's all one covenant, really. It's just a reminder of that. And I just feel like during this season, God wants to... He's like renewing that in our hearts. It's the covenant in His blood that He has. And there's these three parts I feel specifically. Number one is intimacy. We saw that in Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, in the form of friendship. right? That Abraham was a friend of God. I think that's one of the most intimate things that you could ever be said about a person. I hope on my tombstone it says, Matthew Bollinger, he was a friend of God. I mean, can you imagine having that legend, like, status? Like, he's a friend of God? Well, that's for every single one of us. Whether it actually says it or not, it could be said over all of our tombstones. If we want to walk into that place of intimacy where he says, I want to share my secrets with you, Sarah. Yeah. I want to show you my mysteries, Nathan. I want to, you know, whatever it is, this is the covenant. Like, this is a vow. Yeah. This is very serious. This is very solemn, but it's joyful. Like, what do you do at weddings? You party, right? Like, there's a DJ. Like, you get it all. You just have a good time. You celebrate. You drink of the wine. You eat of the food. There's a feast to be had. God is celebrating this. Secondly, has to do with the priesthood of the believers. Martin Luther spoke of this back at the Protestant Reformation, and it comes all the way from last week. We talked about the Mosaic Covenant and how God wanted all the people, not just Moses. He wanted all 4 million to come up the mountain with him, because as Peter recollected in, I think it's 1 Peter 2, he said, I want that you be a nation of kings and priests unto your God.
Yeah.
And you see, speaking of Aslan and Lucy and the Chronicles of Narnia, he's called all of us. He's knighted you to be a king, to be a prince, to be a princess in the spirit. Who are you a king over? We're not lording it over anybody. We're a king and a priest over the principalities, over the spirit realm. This is our time now. To declare, that's, again, to bring full circle back to the beginning, that's why when you say what you see, something shifts in the spirit world. If we could see into the spirit realm, it's like there's these ripples. There's these things happening there. Well, how do you know that? Because the word says it. I've seen it happen and seen enough that I just believe that God is really doing something very, very real here. If we want to go up the mountain, what is that spiritually? If we want to ascend and be with him in this place of intimacy where Moses would leave the tent, you know, but who stayed behind? But Joshua would stay there and talk with God as a friend talks with his friend. So powerful. The third thing is, I believe it's a covenant of worship and the heavenly realm. All these things are connected. Intimacy, the priesthood of the believers, worship in the heavenly realm. This comes to King David. Okay? And King David, the Lord was making a commitment with him to see heaven come to earth. Okay? It started with the ark, the tabernacle. There's a lot in this. I'm not going to take the time to go deep into it. But ultimately, the thing that burned in David's heart, and the New Testament even says he was a man after God's own heart. The thing that burned in him was to build a house for God. Let's read it here together. I've got three quick passages that I want to touch on. First of all is 2 Samuel 7. And in 2 Samuel 7 is the recording, the recollection of the covenant that God makes again, or renews, a renewing of the vows with David. And then I want to jump all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation, where John is seeing the keys of David. And finally, I want to end, if time allows, with down in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus talks about David. Okay, so all three of these passages, 2 Samuel 7, Revelation chapter 3, and John chapter 2. All right, let's read this real closely here. When King David was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king summoned Nathan the prophet. Look, David said, I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent. The very presence of God is out there in a tent. Nathan replied to the king, well, go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. Okay, who is Nathan? Nathan is the prophet. Okay, he's the prophet to the king here in this era.
But that same night, the Lord said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in? I have never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. I've always moved from one place to another with a tent and a tabernacle as my dwelling. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's tribal leaders. The shepherds of my people Israel, I have never asked them, why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house? Now go and say to my servant David, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from insignificance. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone has ever lived on the earth. And I'll provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past. For starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He is the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my sons. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod like any father would do. But my favor will not be taken from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from your sight. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. Do you hear here a renewal of the original covenant made with Abraham? Hey, I'm going to bless you. Look at the stars. As numerous as those stars are, I'm going to make your descendants to be. Hey, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you flocks. I'm going to give you property. His promise was, and his covenant was always about blessing in order that the purposes of God might be fulfilled in the earth. Now he's coming full circle around here to David, and he's saying, you don't need to build me a house. I'm actually going to build one for you spiritually. And I want you to look at the room around you and see that actually this is the house that God has built. Yeah. It's not just a physical building of the church or the house of God, but it's the people of God that he's anointed us as sons and daughters of David. Yeah. Jesus himself takes on the name. He's the son of David. Yeah. And even when he sins, did David sin? Yes, he did. Big time. I mean, big time. Like, slept with another man's wife, had him killed out on the battlefield, and God called him on it. But even when he sins, God said, I'm going to come to him like what? Like a dad. Yeah. I'm going to come to him like a father. Not a harsh taskmaster waiting to beat him down, but as a loving father, I'm going to bring restoration. Yeah. I'm going to bring a redemption. I'm going to bring a repentance in his heart. So here's the first thing that I felt is God gave David open doors. God gave David open doors, open access, not just in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm. And part of our covenant that God's renewing with us is that he has given that to us too. Do y'all believe in angels? Yeah. Well, I mean, angel had a birthday. Where's she at? Oh, she's back there with the kids. God bless her. Angel had a birthday. Who else had a birthday this week? Anybody? Chuck did. Oh, you did? Sean, right? Is it Sean? Tuesday. All right. Lydia's having a birthday Thursday. Anyway, I saw Wednesday. It's your birthday? Wow. There you go. A lot of birthdays. Oh, Angel's name just reminded me. Last Sunday, towards the end of worship, Tiffany was leading us in worship, and she said that she saw these angels in the room. And I didn't see them. Maybe you didn't see them, but I know that God was revealing. The Bible says that angels are just messengers sent to carry things for us. And so then we were having this wonderful time on Tuesday night, And I said, Tiffany, do you know why those angels were here? She said, oh yeah, access, right? They are angels for access or for open doors. Well, that was very interesting to me because the Lord had already given me these scriptures. And last week I was talking about a prophetic word that the Lord gave us through a guest speaker that came back in November of last year. And in that, he said 2020 will be a year of open doors and an open heaven for this church. Expanded it to me, I felt like he said, Matthew, 2022 will be a year. I said 2020, I meant 2022. 2022 will be a year of wide open spaces. We were talking about last week how scary that can be. But I do believe that God wants to teach us about these open doors and these wide open spaces. Because this is the place where God wants us to see him in his beauty. And at the beginning, it's interesting, the prophet said to David, do whatever is in your heart to do. Now, I don't want to get carried away. It's not like God saying, just do whatever. Okay, but you know. You know the difference of the things that God has planted in your heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God's planted some things in your heart. This is going to be a year where he's saying, do whatever I put in your heart to do. Begin to do these things. Begin to work on these things. This past Wednesday night was a big part of that. We're talking about vision. We're talking about visioneering, engineering vision, and carrying through on what God's given us to do. This is a year right now because I think, and I don't know the outworking of this, but I just feel like the reason is because it's going to be key. There's going to be key businesses started, key ministries started, key family things happen that is in your heart to do right now. That'll be important for challenging days ahead. I mean, just for example, what if a business came out of Nathan and times became tough economically, but because Nathan, you know, God, prophet, you know, this thing began to happen. I've seen that happen with people. You know, 2020 was a terrible year. Nobody, that doesn't take a prophet to remember that. And it was a 2020, it was a terrible year. And Gabe started Honey Mountain Kennels and they called them pandemic puppies. They got one. We've got one. It became the greatest season of blessing in this young guy who wasn't out of high school yet.
He was online doing school.
He was online doing school. Oh, help us, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. You know, I'm not saying that to puff him up. That was by the grace of God. And there was a lot of favor that only God can do. I'm just using that as an example of what I'm talking about. It may not have to do with finances or business. It may have something to do with your family. It may have something to do with a ministry that God has for you. Like we heard some from Ian about food hospitality. I mean, come on. Like that got me stirred up. Or schools and educational models. You know, all these sorts of things. See, God's going to use the church to birth things that's going to be like an ark. Are you following me? Think about Noah. I'm not saying the world's coming to an end. I'm not that kind of a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm not prophesying that. I'm just saying there could be tough times. And God is birthed things in our heart right now that become, just like in David's time, they become a place of refuge. They become a place of safety. A place of protection. He who has ears to hear. You know, hear what God's saying. And by the way, this is just a side note. In case you wonder, maybe you're not asking, but I'll tell you anyway. This is how you follow the Lord in your life. You pay attention to the scriptures. See, I'd already gotten this scripture and the one I'm going to share next. And then as you're reading, it becomes it aligns with like somebody comes and says something to you, or like, you know, somebody up here gives you a word and it just happens to line up with that scripture or life circumstances like you were sharing or whatever that is. And then the next thing you know, you look back in your journal from 2 years ago. You're like, wait a second, this lines up with that. And what you begin to see is God, your Father, is painting a beautiful picture. And he lets you in on it. You get to see it. You see, man will not live by principles alone. He doesn't live by principles alone. He lives by bread. What is bread? You remember those old bread machines? We had those back in the 80s. It was easy to make hot, fresh bread. Did anybody have one of those? What are those things called, Jamar? Stop laughing at me. You still got one of those? I just remember them coming out in the 80s. They were like these box things. Oh, those things were awesome because they made the whole house smell like this hot, fresh bread. Well, I mean, in the morning when I open my Bible, I can smell the scent of bread. Not physically. I don't mean literally. I'm just using it as an analogy. Spiritually, God is waiting to bake you something. God is speaking. He loves you. He believes in you. He knows the plans and purposes that he's put upon you. Yeah, but Matthew, you don't know. Yeah, I know you because I know me. Like, we're human beings that are going from glory to glory. In the image of Christ, that's our aspiration. Follow that. Pay attention to the scriptures he has you in. Note the alignment with some of the circumstances and other things. And just one of those, not to glorify them or anything like that, but from time to time, there's people who see things in the spirit world. So if it was an angel that came here to worship with us because they like that, they're attracted to, they're worshiping all the time around the throne of God in heaven. And it's an angel to release open doors. Then you can call me crazy if you want to, but I'm stepping in. Yeah. I'm just going to step into the open doors. And here's a couple key verses right now. Colossians 3:2 and John 3. Okay. Colossians 3:2 and John 3. These are just side notes here. Listen to this when speaking of fresh bread. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Yes, feast. Everybody say feast.
Feast.
Do you like to feast? I like to eat. So when people start talking about visions for cooking, I get excited because I like to eat, you know. So feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Can I get a witness? I mean, does anybody feel that? I mean, when you feast on the spiritual realm, it's not that you don't have time for the natural distractions. Everybody sometimes has to make time. But this is how you live from heaven to earth. Is you're meditating. Sarah was alluding to this in her testimony when she was talking about how God taught her how to stay free. It's meditating on what God's saying to you, what he's showing you, what he's reaffirming to you. Keep record of it and keep your focus there. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day where this is going to be really important. Yeah. I mean, it might be a matter of survival. I hope not. It's going to be really, really important. Like, Lord, where is my focus? The second one is in John 3. You remember, that's the famous John 3:16 verse. Everybody knows that, right? For God so loved the world. But before that, he's having the conversation with Nico. And he says, how are these things possible? Nicodemus, he's a really religious guy. This is a church guy. I mean, this guy is church council, elders. He knows the scripture. He probably has Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy memorized. Right, Pamela? No, I'm serious. Like, in order to be in his position, he would have to have it memorized. Man, I'm in Leviticus right now. I can't even read through it, much less memorize it. Jesus, help us. It's rough. Lord, why? So this is who this guy is. And he says, how are these things possible? And Jesus said, you're a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you that what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Oh, ouch. That kind of hurts, Lord. I feel like Jesus wasn't saying that to wound. I actually think it was kindness. I think there was a lot of just grace on those words. Because if you look at the way Nicodemus responded, he was just humbled. Like, he, in fact, when Jesus died, He was one of the ones that wanted to deal with his body. Yeah. I mean, he believed when everybody else killed him in that Sanhedrin. He believed. So I think there was a weighty, like, compassion. But it is sort of like a woe is me. Oh, God, well, help me out, Lord. Start with earthly things. Help me to understand those things first. That's okay. He will. And then he began to reveal heavenly things and how that impacts us. Now, here's what I think it is. I'm going to get to the keys of David. I think, let's just say this is one of David's keys, because I don't know. There's probably multiple ones. But these are the keys of David. He did not get distracted by the natural realm. In worship, he kept his heart mind focused on the heavenly realm. Just go read his poems. Just go read his psalms. And I love David because he was real. He started like, oh God, where are you? Like, my enemies have surrounded me. What is going on here? Does anybody relate with that? He started like on a Monday morning, but he ends on Sunday. You know? I mean, he starts in lament, not all the time, but a lot of times. But he always progresses. But I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 14. No. Psalm 27, 14. That was the verse. Yeah. Psalm 27, 14. He said, I would have lost heart. Had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what that word goodness is? It's the same one when Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock. And he said, show me your glory, God, your manifest presence. And he said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Goodness and glory are synonyms. Look it up in the Hebrew. It's the same word in Psalm 27, 14. So when David gets to the place where he goes, man, I would have lost heart. I would have packed it in spiritually. I would have given up. But I knew I would see your manifest presence. Mm-hmm. See, there's a manifest presence coming on this church.
Yeah.
Coming upon this city.
Let it come.
It's coming upon this nation. Coming upon this. Nobody has any idea.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some hints. Go study Azusa Street back in 1906. I mean, literal fog would fill the building and arms grew out. And I mean, amazing stuff happened. I can send you the history of it if you're interested. I'm just saying God's glory is his goodness. His goodness is his glory. And this is what David tapped into a little bit ahead of his time. See, because technically they were still living under the law. But David saw something that others didn't. God didn't create man for the law. He created man for his goodness. Original creation. He said, I, at the end of the day, Genesis 1, what did God say? And it was good. He created him for his goodness because his glory was in the room. From that place, David could see the future and appropriate that future into his present. Are you guys all right? I got just a little bit more in me. Revelation 3:7. Now we're going all the way to the end of the book. This is, of course, the Apostle John, exiled on Patmos. And he's seeing Jesus is showing him and speaking to him. Okay, he's recording it for the Holy Scripture. And he says of this church, of the seven churches, this is the sixth one that the Lord gives him a message for. And he says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do. I have opened a door for you that no one can close. Are y'all hearing this?
Yeah.
Now, I got these scriptures before I knew about the angel of open door or this thing about the keys. Okay? This is how I'm following the Lord.
Yeah.
God's just leading us into this. He says, you have little strength, yet you obey my word and did not deny me. look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you have obeyed my command to persevere. Do you remember how much he stressed obedience to the Israelites in the wilderness? How much obedience was key in Abraham because he just believed and it was credited to him as righteous. Okay, he says, because you have obeyed my commands to persevere, I'll protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. Oh, there's a lot in here. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Real quick, three things. Like David, we must have ears to listen to what the Spirit is saying and ask God for understanding, right? God, what are you saying? What are you saying about open heavens? What are you saying about open doors? What are you saying about what you put into my heart? What do I do with that, God? Secondly, we are inheritors of the covenant of David. We got to understand the implications of this. Brian Simmons, who's a theologian, he said this, the key of David unlocks intimacy and prayer. This all comes full circle back to Abraham. It unlocks intimacy and prayer. David was a man who lived in grace centuries before the gospel of God's grace was unveiled. In that sense, the key of David allowed him to view the future and live in the grace it would reveal. Who wants to live in grace? Who wants to live in law? Don't raise your hand. Who wants to live in grace? Who wants to live in law? You see, this is what the key of David has done for us, is it's unlocked a locked door, and that was kingdom access into the heavenly realm to live from the era of grace. Not getting what we deserved. Okay. Whew, I don't know. I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying. The third thing here is, this is the fourth thing total. Where am I at? We have been given open doors for the season. Let us look for them and walk through them. Keys to open locked doors. So on Tuesday at the Parker's house, at our life link called The Well, at that life link, that small group, they discussed like the Sunday message and kind of pray into that. And Tracy Murillo, who's not here at the moment, saw an angel walk into the room with keys of revelation. And in prayer and contemplation, asking God about that, this is what David and Kathy Parker, the hosts of that group, felt the Lord was showing them. This is what they texted me. Each of us, now listen to this. This is really good. Each of us receive a key that is unique to us. And the specific revelation that fanned the flames of the gifting and ministry he has given us. Okay, by revelation, we're not talking about divine biblical revelation. We're not talking about adding to the scripture. No, no, no. That's strictly forbidden. What we're talking about is a spiritual understanding of what God's trying to communicate to us. Okay? Is that you're unique. You're different. You're special. And he's given each of you a special key to unlock what he's put in you. Are you following that? No other key is shaped to fit and open that door. Not the keys given to us by others, our parents and family, or those that we may yearn for as we compare ourselves to others. I think it was important, they write, for us to see how differently each one of us is wired for receiving and feeling the Father's pleasure. And yet, the result for all of us is joy. You are my joy. You are my joy. The joy in those moments we feel Father's pleasure, Where there is joy, there's no competition or comparison, and there's unity in Christ. Amen. They go on Saturday morning in praying about the keys that God was bringing, communicating into the room, into this room of revelation. The Lord showed them that, you know, the Satan, the adversary, sets up a counterfeit room right beside the room of revelation called the room of rumination. Okay? And one, the Lord gives you a key to open the door freely given without asking. The other, it requires no key, and it's easy to go in. But then the door mechanism is such that it looks or gets real stiff, so it's hard to get out. As they reflected on this, we realize we can rehearse the past, massage our reputation, compare and compete, feed on regrets or past glories, or we can receive the fresh now word of the Lord. One is dust, the other is life. So much like the choices before us. One is life and the other is death. One is freely given, the other seems easy but actually requires work. Thanks for letting me share that. They gave me permission. I thought that was really good what the Lord was showing you. You see, these are the two trees in the garden. Y'all remember those? You can have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, law, or you can have the tree of life. You choose. You see, we still get to choose. God didn't want to create robots, so he created Adam and Eve, mankind, with a choice. And these are the two trees. One leads to the law and death. It's living by the rules. Okay? And then the other is grace and it's life. It's important that we choose the latter. Now, when I say living by the rules, don't misunderstand me. It's not that we have a lawless God. No, quite to the contrary. Jesus came to fulfill the law and live in you so that your heart would find joy in doing what's right. You see, that's what grace is. Grace isn't just, hey, you don't get what you deserve. Grace empowers you to live righteous and holy as unto the living God. Amen. This is the tree that you choose. It's that tree of life, that tree of grace. Here's the conclusion, is that God's covenant is not with the law. It's with his people. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but Hebrews writes in the New Testament, the old system under the law of Moses, this is Hebrews 10, you can look back at it if you're curious. The old system under Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. You hear that? The law was a shadow. It was not the goodness. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. But instead, these sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Guess what? That's why Christ came into the world. He said, you don't want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, Father, but you've given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it's written about me in the scriptures. First, Christ said you didn't want animal sacrifices or sin offerings. You weren't pleased with them. Then he said, look, I've come to do your will. Here's what Hebrews says. He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. Did you hear that word covenant? Yeah. He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second covenant into effect. And that's the one we live in. That's the one we choose today. That's the one we have access to in the open heaven that we live under, made available through Christ, through his body. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That's it. It's about holiness, but not by our own works or by the blood of bulls and goats, thank God, but by the sacrifice that he made. You see, Jesus even said that about David, I'll finish with this. In Mark 2, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? That's not right. You're not following the rules here." Yeah. Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scripture what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Layman's terms, your body needs a rest. If you don't take a break, your body's going to wear out. If you're not taking a Sabbath, you need to take a Sabbath because it's what's healthy and good. That's why God created it. Not the other way around. If you don't, God's mad at you. If you don't, you're a lawbreaker. This is what Jesus is essentially saying. In the Passion Translation, here's the last verse. He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for the sake of people and not people for the Sabbath. For this reason, the Son of Man exercises his lordship over the Sabbath." You see, God's covenant is with you. God's covenant is with your kids. God's covenant is with all the descendants that represent those stars in the sky that he showed Abraham. He's a good father, not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving papa, not a strict disciplinarian. And he's bringing us, even in his loving discipline, into a place where we receive the grace of God that empowers us for the road that lies ahead. Oh, all right, you guys stand with me. Had to get that out. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we look to you this morning. God, we are just so hungry for more. God, we can smell the baked bread in the spirit. God, our hearts thirsty for that living water that you said that you provide. And so, Lord, we're just asking you right now to break off self-effort. Break off the works of man, God. And we ask you, God, to renew something in our hearts. Let the grace of God arise in us. And, Lord, we just look to you today, God, as you renew your vows with us, God. We say yes to the bridegroom. We say yes to you, Jesus. We walk in and we choose the tree of life. We choose the law of grace today, God. The empowering goodness of God. We choose that today, God. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Can I get David and Kathy? Where's David at? Oh, David can pray, man. He prayed over me the other day. I thought, whew, sheka boom ba bam. The Lord is releasing something. And then I want to get these fire girls over here. Kenda. And where's... Oh, yeah. Angels with the kids. Kenda and Tiffany or whoever. Can y'all come just be up here? If you need God to do something and shift, there's a lot of people that can come up here and pray. I'm just picking a few of friends. If you need God to just shift something in you, come up here and get them to prophesy over you. Get them to pray over you. God's doing stuff. Thank God he already did earlier this morning. But don't leave here today until you just sense like, okay, I know. God's doing something. I'm moving forward. Amen? Is that all right? Can you guys pray over them? All right. You guys be blessed. Go and have a great week. We love you. Thank you, Lord. We just pray, God, that you would bless us and keep us. That you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. And Lord, that your shalom would walk with us through this week. Amen. Amen. Amen.